Thank you, Pastor.
Oh, that might come in really handy. You know, back years ago when those preachers would preach, and before air conditioning, you always tried to sit near the window, and I'd be about a 10-year-old boy, and I'd be sitting there just so hot, and that preacher would stop, and he would take a sip of that water, and without fail, you know what that does to a 10-year-old boy? You know, Pastor, you might not have invited me if you talked a little bit more to the folks here. It was about 27 years ago that I was preaching here, and my parents drove up from Winston-Salem to hear me. They were sitting kind of right back over there in the corner, pretty close to where Andy is at now. Mom came, but she was sick. So I was sort of, as I was preaching, I was kind of watching Mom. Quick as the service was over, I went back and I said, "Mom, I hope you get better." And she said, "Son, I hope you do too." She was serious, I'm afraid. We'll find out if her prayers for the last 27 years have been answered or not. Now, Pastor mentioned that he and I were both at Piedmont Bible College. I had a speech teacher down there. Her name was Martha Grace Green. Did you have Mrs. Green?
I have never been. She destroyed me. I got up and couldn't talk.
She had that effect on people. She was a sweet lady, as sweet as any drill sergeant you have ever met. Just a wonderful lady. But what she said about me was that I was just too sermon-y. Now I'm thinking, I'm going to Bible college. I want to be a preacher. That's kind of what I'm shooting for right here. I considered it a compliment, but she didn't think it was, and she wanted me to get out of that a little bit. I ran into Mrs. Green not too long ago, probably 3 or 4 years ago. Her and her husband, Dr. G. Carl Green. Now, he's one of those. He is a Bible college professor. Now, they're in their 80s at this time, and they're coming across getting into a buffet line, so I just stop. I'm being polite. I'm going to let them get in line in front of me. So they're kind of teetering along, and Dr. Green and Mrs. Green, they step in front of me, and she kind of looks at me over her shoulder, and there's just a little scowl on her face, and I nod. I'm not going to make any big deal. This is not my party. All I'm doing is being polite and letting this sweet lady go on. And she turns back and she looks at me a second time, and then she takes her finger and she sticks it up in the air and she shakes it at me like this, and she says, "I remember you." So I said, "All good memories, I hope." She went, and turned right back around. I didn't think I left that impression on folks, but obviously I do. So anyway, if you'd known all of that, you might not have. So glad we got past that. If you have your Bibles with you today, and I trust you do, Hebrews chapter 11. Big difference between your pastor and me is that, you know, he was a double major. He got his THB and his MRS. I felt like it was important to focus on the MRS. So I'm a single graduate. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 1, says this. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear." Now let's skip down to verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please God," to please Him. "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Amen. What verses. And what a place this place is. Faith Baptist Church. There's a story that goes along with this place. And that story started a long time ago, but it's still being told today, and with God's blessings will be told into the future. I want to show you something right here. I carry this around with me. Can you see that right there? How many computer geeks do we have in here that can tell me what that is? I knew Dr. Johnson right off would know what this is. I'll tell you what it is in just a minute, but I want to tell you where it came from. I have a friend who works on computers. He works on the, he developed this program. They make computer hardware nowadays that's too fast for the old programs. So he developed this patch that he could put in there that would actually slow down the new hardware so that the old programs would still work, the programs from 25, 30 years ago. He was getting ready to fly out to Singapore. There was a government spy ship in Singapore that was going out on a mission. And before they could go out on a mission, they needed their computer hardware updated, and he had to fly out. He was one of the few people in the country that could do it. And what we were praying about was they had told him in advance, if you go and you're on the ship and the call comes in and they have to go, you don't have time to get off. You got to go. So we're all praying, Lord, let that ship stay in the harbor in Singapore till he can finish working on the ship. Well, now I'm just a little bit odd anyway. So as he's going, I say, can you bring me back a piece of the ship? You know, it's a government ship. It's a spy ship. He got a picture of it, by the way. There are no guns on the ship. Where the gun turrets ought to be, whatever it is, underneath that big dome covering, it's just for listening. And all of these computer systems figure into it. But I said, can you bring me a piece? So when he comes back, he didn't have to go out, by the way. He got it all fixed. When he comes back, he hands me this. He says, I got you a piece of the ship. The hard drives are probably about 3 feet square. And those hard drives, being old like they were, you couldn't just drop them. If you did, the impact would cause the hard drives to malfunction. And all this is right here is just a little plastic sensor that just sticks on the outside of those hard drives. If you drop them, it turns red right in here. You see how this is red in here? That hard drive got dropped. Now all this is a little piece of plastic. But doesn't the story make it pretty interesting? I got a piece of a spy ship from Singapore. And I carry it with me everywhere I go to remind me. It's not so much the value of this, but about the story that goes behind it. Now think about that just for a minute. There's not a whole lot of value in me at all. But I got a story to tell. Amen. I have a Savior who loved me. I have a Savior who thought enough of me to come from heaven to live a perfect life and to die in my stead. I have a story to tell. But that story doesn't make a lot of sense unless we start right here at the beginning. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, I guess, is sort of like a handsome man or a beautiful woman. You don't really know how to define it, but you sure know it when you see it. Isn't that right? Now, faith is like that. There's this lovely couple that lives here in the mountains. To me, they are the absolute embodiment of faith. Because years ago, he started losing his sight. Today, I'm not sure how much he can see. Maybe he can see in light and dark, but he can't see much of anything else. But you know, you never see that husband and wife unless they're together. And you know what? He doesn't have a guide dog or a cane. He simply lays his hand on her shoulder. And everywhere she goes, he goes. Everywhere he needs to go, she goes. And he trusts her completely. All it takes is just puts his hand on her shoulder and away they go. It's not a big deal. It's just the way it is. Now, faith is an awful lot like that, wouldn't you say? When we think about faith, we have to think about the story. I put my notes on my iPad today. I used to put my notes out on pieces of paper, and one time I got in the pulpit, and I had about a notebook with about 18 pages in it, and if I started flipping through it, everybody got nervous. So I put them on an iPad today, plus it helps me to update my Facebook status while we're going on here. So we're good. Well, if things get boring, I might, you know, a little bit of Angry Birds here. We'll see. It has been said that faith is to our soul what our five senses are to our body. Faith, it's faith that lets us see God move. It's faith that lets us hear God's voice. It's faith that, faith that lets us taste the goodness of God. And it is faith that let us feel his touch. You know, it's not an accident that this place was called Faith Baptist Church. The story, there's a lot of us here that's been here long enough to know the story. There was a man who was in Charlotte. He was from here, but God had sent him to Charlotte, or the devil had one. He was working down there. And God was calling him to come back to this place and start a Baptist church. Now, there's another man in this area who was praying that God would send a man back here to start a Baptist church. That man in Charlotte, his name was Bud Parker. And the factory that he was working in, he went into the labeling shop one night and he cut out a stencil. And the stencil he cut out was Faith Baptist Church. And he began praying for that. You know the story. He loaded his furniture on a truck with no promise of a place to take it off, because God called him to come back here and start a church called Faith Baptist Church. The man who was here who was praying, his name was Frank Hartley. He was praying that God would send a man. I was fortunate to meet Mr. Hartley on several occasions. He attended here when we first started coming. I remember the overalls. I remember the quiet strength that was Frank Hartley. That's our roots. That's where this place started. Now, I'll tell you the truth. Faith Baptist Church and my time here has changed me. I'd like to think for the better. I hope I'm a better person now than I was 27 years ago. And so does my mother. And so does my wife. And my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law's here today, so whatever she says, I'll fill you in about later. We have a tremendous depth of faith to draw from at this place. We've seen faith in action over the years. Dr. Johnson, I was sitting out there and I was looking back at this wall. Do y'all know that you are attending a church today that was struck by a meteor? Now, some said it was lightning, but lots of churches get struck by lightning. But Preacher Parker said it was a meteor. That's cool, don't you think? Well, there's no burn marks where it struck, and it struck right near it struck at the base of the steeple, not at the top of the steeple. If it was lightning, it'd strike at the top, wouldn't it? Whatever hit blew a hole in the roof, broke every truss across here, and scared the daycare workers witless, just about. Well, that was the cause of the remodel. Of course, the roof had to come off. And as the roof came off, it rained and the floor buckled up. Seemed like a sad time then, didn't it? But I was remembering Dr. Johnson's dad, because back here on the wall, after this rock work went up, he came to me one Sunday. We were standing there and we were looking at it. And he said, "Isn't this beautiful?" And he said, "Yeah, but it's somewhat distracting." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, when I was in school, they made us draw out all the states. And so I learned the shapes." And said, "Now I stare at that wall and I see Arkansas and I see Tennessee and South Carolina." And I sat back there today and I said, "Yeah, there they are. They're still there." Dr. Johnson's dad was a great man too. I remember it was Bob Fink who was the one who was really important or really pressed to put the rock work there. He served on the board here for a while. And you folks were gracious enough to let me be on staff for a while. Boy, I wish I could take back so many of the things I said and did back then. You know how dumb young preachers are? I am fortunate to work with young preachers right now. And I try and gently tell them, "Boys, y'all about as dumb as you're ever going to be right now." And you know what they think? They think, "Oh, you're just soft. You're a compromiser now that you're getting older." No, I'm not. I just got enough knots on my head, and you can learn from my knots or you can get them on your own. It's completely up to you. We do have a great depth to draw from. But faith, like your five senses, is something that you don't develop. You don't grow into them. You get them when you're born. Faith is something that we got on the day we were born. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we can quote those, can't we? It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Whoa, wait a minute. We read over that and we go, "Yeah, I can't save ourselves," but that's really not what it's saying. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that, not of yourselves. That faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
Amen.
Not of works, lest any man should boast. So you don't get more faith. What a strange child it would be if they were born and then 2 or 3 years later they grew ears. And a couple of 3 years later after that, all of a sudden then they were able to taste. Wouldn't that be an odd child? Yes, it would. I love new babies coming along, and I am so thankful that Betty and I don't have any more. Grandchildren are by far better than children. They told me that, and I really didn't believe them, but it's true, and we should have had the grandchildren first. They're a lot less trouble. But when a new one comes along, they are so precious, but everything is exciting. You know, when they're first born, they don't quite focus too well, but after a few days, they do. You see, faith is something that can improve as you go along because you exercise it. You begin to learn a little bit.
Amen.
Now, what's the basis of our faith? Well, it says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
Faith Baptist Church, founded on the Word of God.
Amen.
Faith Baptist Church, a product of the Word of God. Did you listen to the songs today? The Word of God set to music. If you memorize the words, you've heard God's Word. But then more than that, we stand up here today and we read it and we preach it. And then we do more than that. We live it.
Amen.
It's got to get inside. It's got to come out. You know what the world needs more of today? The one thing that we somewhat, for some reason, are a little bit afraid to give them. The world needs more of, thus saith the Lord.
That's right.
Jesus did not die on the cross to make us better people. Jesus did not die on the cross so that we could be happy, healthy, fat, sassy, and wise. Jesus died on the cross because men were on their way to hell.
Amen.
And Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins.
Amen.
That's what the Word says.
Amen.
That's what this church is founded on. That's the message that the world needs to hear. Thus saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Faith Baptist Church is a church that honors a risen Lord. If Christ were dead and in a tomb, and we could look at him as a wise teacher, that's pretty empty, isn't it? But we have a risen Savior.
Amen.
Well, in fact, 1 Corinthians 15:14 makes it this important. Listen to what this says. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. It's that central to the fact that Christ must have risen from the dead. We're going to face him one day. Did you know that? One day we're going to stand before him. Now, I have met those that say, I will stand before him and he will look at my good and he will look at my bad and he'll weigh those out, and whichever one comes out the most, that's the way it's going to be. And there's those that'll say, my wife right now picks on me and she says that I get exactly what I deserve. I don't want that. I know what I deserve. My wife is gracious to me. She doesn't give me what I deserve. And neither does my Lord.
Amen.
I don't get what I deserve. When I stand before him, I'm going to stand redeemed.
Amen.
I'm going to stand forgiven.
Amen.
One day I will stand there, though. You know, I hope it's today. I was thinking about all the songs that we used to sing here. The music has always been a big part. Some of the songs, let's see if I can do this. I wish I had lots of fish. Y'all remember that one? When I was, it gets better. But there was ones for my kids when they were growing up. And my grandkids right now, they look at me kind of strange when I sing this one. This is a song we sang here.
Thy poochy lip will get you if you don't watch out. Thy poochy lip will get you if you start to pout. So take this little tip, please control that lower lip, and chase away the poochy lip disease.
My kids hated that. Especially when they were dating and they had their date over. But then there's other songs that we sang here. And this one goes through my mind before I stand to preach every time, Dr. Johnson, it's all your fault. This one goes through my mind. Maybe today my Lord will come for me. Maybe today my Savior I shall see. Maybe today from sin I shall be free. Jesus will come and I will go home. It may be today.
Amen.
That's the roots we have. I am going to face my Savior. I look forward to it though. Not because there's anything in me, but because of everything in
Him. Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I'm ready. Are you ready?
Amen.
That really is the message and the question that this church asks over and over again. Everywhere we go, that's the question. Are you ready? Because the day is coming. We today accept faith as a natural part of our approach to God. But I want you to go back when this book was written. The book of Hebrews, written to the Jews. Where that wailing wall is at in Jerusalem now, that wailing wall is actually the retaining wall, the foundation for the whole temple complex. And the temple was still there when the book of Hebrews was written. The priests were still at work. The sacrifices were still being made. Now, Christ had died, but those things had not yet ended. And here we have the book of Hebrews, where the writer, Paul, if you disagree with me, you can be wrong, but the writer said that those things are going to pass away. Everything comes to an end eventually. But Paul says, the writer says, there's a better way. In fact, there's a better messenger, Jesus, better than the angels. He's the Son of God. He is God. There's a better message. It's not about covering our sins. It's about having our sins washed away. There's a better message. This one is better than Moses. Now, Moses was about as good as you got. But this one is better than Moses. This one is a better priest. The other priests, they'd come and go. Sometimes they were good men, sometimes they weren't. This man, this Jesus, a better priest. It's a better priesthood because it's built on better promises. There's a better testament, a better covenant, a better sacrifice. The sacrifices of lambs and goats could cover sin for a while, but they couldn't wash it away. The blood of Jesus Christ washed our sins away.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ makes us able to stand. They were asked to let go of all that they've been taught from their childhood, and now to step into this new relationship with God based on faith, based on a finished work. Do you know there's nothing you can do to make God love you more than He loves you?
Yeah.
Somebody once said that if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. And if God had a wallet, your picture would be in it. What God has is knowledge that reaches from the beginning to end. And I'm right there in it. What God has is love that reaches from heaven to a cross. And I'm right in the middle of it. And what God has is forgiveness for all who believe.
That's right.
And I'm part of it.
Amen.
Before we go any further, I know most of you. And it's been like old home day coming. My children, all four of them said at the beginning that they would be here. And then over time, one or the other dropped out till just one came. I'm so glad, Doyle and Bonnie, that you worked hard and got your kids here just to see me today. It is good to see all of you again. This is my old Sunday school class, pretty much, with a couple of more around here, and Andy and all of those. Anybody feel like reciting Joshua 1:8 as long as we're together? Nobody's jumping at it. Okay. I know most of you, but for those of you that I don't know, I want to ask you a question. Are you saved?
Amen.
It is the most important question you've ever been asked. I want you to know that God loves you. But I want you to know, too, that you are not on your own in a position to make God happy. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that there is none righteous. No, not one. That means you, that means me, that means all of us. So we come short. So what are we going to do? Well, we can't do anything. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for me. He died for you. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're not sure today that if you were to die right now that you would go to heaven, I want to ask you to do something. I want you to find Pastor Brad. I want you to find me, Dr. Johnson, any of these folks that you've seen on the platform. I know them. I trust them. They can open the Bible, and they can show you how that you can know that you're going to heaven. Amen. Nothing will be more important than today. Now, I have prayed over this message for months. This has been the most unusual message that I have ever dealt with in my life. I've known for years that this was the message to preach here today. And when Pastor Brad emailed me and asked me about it, I read his email, and actually I literally sat down and I said, "Sweetheart, sit down. I got something I got to read to you." And I read it to her, and she went, "Wow." Because we talked about this for years. It's no accident that we're here today.
Amen.
For this message. This morning at 6 a.m., my phone starts beeping. I got a text message because somebody in Winston-Salem is praying about this service today. Wanted me to know. Said, "We're praying about it." A little while ago, we got a text message from some folks in Texas. Theirs was a mixture of sadness and some other things. The text message basically said this: "I have a granddaughter in heaven today, praying for you and your service, can't wait to hear about it." So this time has been bathed in prayer for this message. Not because the messenger is anything, but because this place is special to God. Every story, every life has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. Now, you at Faith Baptist Church have to admit, you're no longer in the midst of the beginning, are you? But aren't you glad you're nowhere near the end?
Amen.
We're in the middle. Sometimes the middle part of life doesn't get a whole lot of respect. If you're old, everybody will help you. They'll step back out of the way and let you in the buffet line. If you're young, they take care of you and they'll get your food for you and bring it to you. And if you're young enough, they'll even feed you. But if you're in the middle, nobody cares. Isn't that right? If you're in the middle, feed yourself, clothe yourself. And I don't want to hear you whining about your aches and pains. But I figure with my children, they're going to hear it anyway. But the middle is where most of the living gets done. The middle is where we really define who we are. So who are you? Faith Baptist Church and friends. You know, Faith Baptist Church, the ministry of this place reaches far beyond these four walls. It reaches literally around the world.
That's right.
One of the folks who came through the Christian school here, you may or may not know, is getting ready to head off the first of the year and go to Pakistan as a missionary. She is going to serve as a medical missionary for 2 years in Pakistan. I'm scared to death for her. She knows that's where God wants her to go.
Amen.
What are you going to do today? You see, Faith Baptist Church won't stand or fall because of Pastor Brad. We've got this misconception sometimes that only the professionals can serve God.
Right.
Truth of the matter is, Faith Baptist Church stands or falls based on the faithfulness of the people in the pews.
Amen.
So what are you going to do today? Examine yourselves, 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you? So what are you going to do? Our text verse today, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report, and only by it will you obtain a good report.
Amen.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, and that I am His special creation. So that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Would everyone bow your head, close your eyes? Special time right now. I'm going to ask a very special question. It's really twofold. First and foremost, if you're not sure you're saved, God wants you to be saved today. And it's only by faith. It is not an intellectual exercise that brings you into a relationship with Christ. It's by faith. Will you reach out your hand and just put your hand in His hand and let Him lead you like that loving wife leads her husband? By faith, will you trust Him today? And for those of you who are saved, what is it that God's wanting you to do? There is someone here today that God's been dealing with about doing something. And you've made a lot of excuses. Too old, too young, too poor, too this, too that. Just can't do it. Well, you know you can with God's help. All things are possible with Him. So for you, my challenge today is, what are you going to do? What do you have that God wants? Give it to Him today. Father, we pray that Thy word would not return void. Lord, we pray that everything that You would have had said is said today. And we pray that the story would go on, the story of faith, told in our lives and told in generations to come, because faithful men stood for Your word. Lord, we pray now in this quiet time that Thy will be done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Pastor.